All right. So next we will do 2267. That's Christine McCormick. And we have no complaint, no respondent, and Mr. Stoll is monitoring.
Yes, sir.
All right. So we will turn that over to Dr. James.
Front load.
Oh, sorry, yeah, front load. Thank you.
Case 2267, the complainant is Lori Feldman, and the respondent is Christina McCormick, DVM. On October 26, 2021, Atreyu, a six-month-old male gypsy van horse, was presented to respondent's premises for a fracture, implant removal, and castration. On October 31, 2021, the foal developed a fever but was otherwise clinically normal. Later that day, the foal began to seize and passed away. Due to the unexpected nature of the death, respondent recommended a necropsy. The foal was submitted to Midwestern University for a necropsy on November 1st, 2021. Complainant originally did not want the horse cremated after the necropsy, however, she changed her mind and requested the foal's ashes be returned. Respondent staff called the lab and requested the foal be cremated after necropsy services. Apparently that afternoon, the foal's necropsy was canceled. It was unclear who made the request. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
All right, thank you. And Dr. Jane, since we have no complaint and no respondent, I'll just turn it right over to you.
Yeah.
Let the record reflect that I'm monitoring.
And he's still here.
You're still monitoring.
I didn't say it the second time. Sorry.
No.
Apologize.
Still monitoring from the first time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think this one, you know, definitely was a communication issue.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of trying to go through and figure out where this might have happened and how this might have happened. And honestly, I don't know. I don't know how somebody must have said something that made them think that this was being canceled. It doesn't make any sense to me. But, so I don't really feel like we can find a violation of that. My concern is that I think the investigative committee didn't find any violations. I was concerned about the lack of butte being entered into the medical record. So I actually have a medical records violation from the, I think it was October 31st visit. It was the one where the horse spiked the temperature, the vet came and looked, gave butte, wanted the vitals to be retaken at 3, but the butte was not put into the medical record.
You don't have a record
summary.
Person. Yeah, okay. What day was that again? I'm sorry?
October 31st.
October 31st, okay.
And I couldn't find it in there either. Yeah.
Could you identify, Dr. James, what page number you're referencing? Do you happen to have that
handy? 67 of 68 is the exam record.
Okay. Thank you.
You don't see it, do you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I went through it and I couldn't find it anywhere. So it's probably a minor records violation.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to. I honestly don't use butte, so an appropriate doses and stuff, so I'm going to assume that's an appropriate dose. But it's not in the records there, and it's in the.
Yeah,
statement, the narrative.
I think the dose seems fine.
I would assume, yeah.
It's more just you have an animal that has spiked a fever. You're giving an anti-inflammatory, and not like that could
mm-hmm.
be
yeah.
a big deal, right? And so, I know you recommended come back at 3, and then the horse died anyway. So, I guess I would just say, instead of, you know, dismissing with no violations, I'd probably make a motion that we find a violation 3222, 3221 as it relates to R311502L7 for the name of medication given or the fact that the medication was given. But then accept the findings of fact as written.
So 3222, 3221 as it relates to AAC 311502L7 A through D. Because it's missing everything.
Missing everything.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, go ahead.
Just to kind of keep things even, so then you also have the option of 2233B, that's the minor records violation.
Yeah, that was the...
Well, if that's the only thing.
And I just went back and forth. I mean, it's minor now, but I don't know that couldn't have been an issue, because it... It is kind of critical to the treatment of what
sure.
he did.
Yeah, I just wanted to point that out, because you don't always do that. So.
I said it does not affect the diagnosis or care of the animal well. I mean, the drug was in the care of the animal.
Right.
Probably wouldn't affect the outcome, but it doesn't affect diagnosis or care.
If this horse hadn't died and somebody had taken the comp later, they would have needed to know that you gave bute.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it could have affected the care.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
So.
Okay. That was a motion, right?
It was a motion. I guess because of where we're at, I could make it as offering it as a consent agreement, right? That we found this medical violation as the findings of fact as written by the investigative committee report. And then with the consent agreement, I'll just leave it at that for now, and then we can ask about priors. Okay.
Are you doing the
minor
record keeping violation?
No. I did 3222, 3221.
Okay.
R311502L7A and B.
Yeah, so the motion is to find out whether the conclusions law things affect.
Yeah, to accept the findings of fact as written in the investigative committee report, and then amend the conclusions of law to find the medical records violation.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion on this? All right, we'll do a roll call vote, please.
Ms. Crager?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Passes.
All right, so.
And Tracy, are there any priors?
No.
So I would do, recommend 3 hours of CE in medical records, no civil penalty, and a year probation.
Okay, so that's a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, so a motion and a second for 3 hours of medical records, CE, no civil penalty, and probation for a year. And if not signed in 30 days?
Yes.
Then we're a man to an informal.
Yep.
We got everything that time, didn't we? All right, so do we need to roll call on that one too then? If it's punitive?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Ms. Crager?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright.
Aye. All right, motion carries. So we'll move on now to 2269 for Marianella Francesis, Francesina? Sorry, I missed it. I'm wrong. DVM.
Francesina?
DVM. My fault. If you can read the front load on that, please.
Yes. Case 2269, the complainant is Juan and Virginia Ayala, and the respondent is Marianella Francesina, DVM, and on November 2nd, 2021, Xenia, a 4-month-old female Persian cat, was presented to respondent for a new kitten exam. The kitten was examined and vaccinated, then was discharged. On November 29th, 2021, the kitten was presented to respondent for booster vaccines. The cat was examined. Neutral purulent discharge was present to the eyes and nose. Respondent suspected an upper respiratory infection, therefore vaccines were postponed and discharged with eye medication and NSLF. On December 7th, 2021, the kitten was presented to respondent for vaccinations. Respondent noted that the cat was underweight, there was mild nasal mucopurulent discharge and matted fur on the cat's face. Respondent vaccinated the cat. It was recommended to increase feeding, monitor weight, and if the nasal discharge had not resolved within a week, antibiotics would be dispensed. On December 28th, 2021, complainant requested an appointment for the following day as the cat was weak and needing to be hand-fed. Respondent staff recommended taking the cat to an emergency facility. The complainants declined. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0.
All right, thank you. And we have no complaint, no respondent, and Mr. Stoll is monitoring?
Yes, sir.
All right. So we'll turn this over to Dr. Thompson.
All right. So given that I'm in the midst of kitten season right now, I have a few, there's just a couple of things, you know, when we start looking at the medical record on this little kitten was small. So there seemed to be a discrepancy in the age to begin with what the owners were told from where they purchased the cat to when they brought it in to the clinic. They thought it was 4 months, the veterinarian thought 9 weeks, but even the 1.5 pounds at 9 weeks, that's an unhealthy weight for a kitten of that age. So I think from the get-go, this poor little kitten had some issues. You know, as far as the recommendations of the veterinarian, she did recommend, retroviral testing on the first visit. It was declined. She did initiate vaccines. She did some treatment with it having some respiratory issues. There could be disputes on whether or not that would have been the way that each of us would have treated that case, but it's not necessarily completely incorrect. As far as the end result of the kitten, obviously it's very unfortunate, but she saw the kitten the last time on December 7th, gave recommendations that they would pursue further treatment if not improved within a week. It appears as though the clinic tried to make contact multiple times that following week with no luck. And it wasn't until, 3 weeks later that the owner calls and says, my cat's really not doing well. And then at that point, they recommend emergency and they didn't go and the kitten passed. So I'm not seeing any direct violations from this doctor and how she treated the case. So I would go with the recommendations of the committee.
Second.
All right,
And find no violations, yes.
So a motion of no violation and a second. Any other discussion? Are all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, motion passes for 2269 to find no violation and dismiss. We will now move on to the last one, 22128, Julie Quitty, DVM. If you could read the front load on that, please.
Yes, so case 22128, the complainant is Caleb Willoughby, and the respondent is Julie Quitty, DVM. On April 29th, 2022, the complainant presented two dogs, Mischief, a 12-year-old female terrier mix, and Frosty, a 6-year-old male terrier mix, to respond for dentals and a neuter procedure. The complainant also requested a mass be evaluated on Mischief and removed if needed. The complainant was assisting the pet owner with transportation of the dogs and obtaining financial assistance for veterinary care. Later that day, complainant picked up the dogs. The premises owner, Mrs. Knight, explained that the mass removal was not funded by the rescue agency and complainant needed to cover the cost. Complainant became upset and did not want to pay for the mass removal and biopsy, stating it was supposed to be included with the other services. Ms. Knight terminated complainant as a client. He would not have to pay for the services and the biopsy would not be submitted for histopathology. This case did not go in front of the investigative committee. It was brought straight to you for your review and direction.
Okay, thank you. And again, on this one, just to make sure, we have no complaint, no respondent, and no monitoring. So, Ms. Krieger.
Thank you, yes. So, this is kind of a unique case because you have several different people that are kind of involved in the care of these pets, which I think is great. But it certainly does make it a little bit confusing as well. As I read through everything, I mean, at the end of the day, this individual who had their pets had somebody else taking them in, and then that person was authorizing or not authorizing, depending on, how you see it, additional services. And, at the end of the day, this pet received a mass removal that needed to be paid for that wasn't covered by the various rescue organizations. and allegedly had been approved. And again, because you have different parties, you know, representing the ultimate pet owner, I can see why it got confusing. But there was a discrepancy, you know, over who was responsible. And ultimately, I mean, the vet, you know, it was in their purview to say that they were gonna, you know, if they weren't gonna receive payment, they were gonna discontinue their relationship, and they, you know, didn't further follow up to obtain payment, and you know, they left it at that. And ultimately, they had that right, and I didn't see anything that fell below the standard of care. And honestly, when you read the complaint, you know, even the complainant states that, you know, they were disorganized and things that, frankly, you know, are not within our purview anyhow. So I found no violation and would make a motion that we dismiss case 22-128.
Second.
All right, so I have a motion and a second for dismissal. Any other discussion? Yeah, I mean, ultimately, when money gets involved, figure it out before the fact.
Yeah, you know, right?
Always figure it out beforehand, because when you surprise people with money after the fact, it's always going to go bad. It doesn't matter what industry you're
in. And again, the vet was...
Yeah, yes or no, across the house, mass.
Right.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
And again, the vets, then the ones that are tracking down money from the various rescues. I mean, it, again, everybody had, you know, good intentions, I know, but it just, you can see how it would get, it could easily get messy, and I...
Yeah, no, it says if money's involved, doesn't matter what it is, always figure it out before you pick up the knife.
Yeah.
But okay, so we have a motion for dismissal and a second. Any other discussion? All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, the motion carries, and 22-128 is dismissed. All right, so we are done with our initial investigative reviews. So let's move on to 4-1, 22-123. Edwin Kissel, DVM. Board and review, discuss, and take action on compliance with consent agreement as related to practice monitor requirements.
And then we want to go to Dr. Valentine on the phone. Yes. Dr. Kissel, you want to come on up? Hello. We're going to get Dr. Valentine on the phone, okay?
Hello?
Hi, Dr. Valentine. It's Tracy from the Veterinary Board.
Hello?
The board is ready to discuss Dr. Kiesel's case, so I'll turn you over to our board chair, Dr. Wright.
Hi. Thank you.
Sorry,
Oh, she was turning you over to me, so I'm the board chair today. So thank you for...
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for being here. This is a practice moment. So we will turn this over. Ms. Solomon is the lead on this.
Yes,
we'll turn this over to Ms. Solomon.
Yes, at the board's May meeting, the board reviewed Dr. Valentine's first audit report. The board had some fairly extensive discussion about the type of monitoring that was done. What is historically and standard is a practice monitoring, which looks at expired supplies, controlled drug logs, inventories, complete medical records, et cetera. The board's intent on this was to monitor the Dr. Kiesel's actions were if they were medically appropriate and met the standard of care. So it's much more than just looking at the records to ensure that it contains all the required information. The idea was that the monitor could discuss with Dr. Kiesel any cases or actions that might be better handled another way. So this was a different kind of practice monitoring than is the standard. This was not a monitoring so much of the premise as it was Dr. Kiesel's practice of medicine.
Can I talk?
Yes, I guess we can.
Yeah,
sure. Definitely.
Jump in.
You can answer that.
Okay. She goes over every single record that I do, and every Friday we meet for an hour and we discuss any changes that should be made or changes that I should make. At the beginning, there were a lot of records where I did not have a diagnosis, or I did not have a prognosis, or I did not have an estimate. So we fixed the record so that that couldn't happen. In other words, I have to put them in before the record is complete. So that part is pretty much cleared up. Now, pretty much she's just adding anything that she thinks I might look at in a different way. I have right here, and I have enough copies if you want to look at them, the latest records when we went over this last Friday. And basically she tells me, in this case with Lucy Hall, you know, what I should do better, what was unclear. And when we sat down and talked and made it clear how I could change so that wouldn't happen again. And then she goes over every case, and I have an answer for each and every case that I did. So if you want to look at these, fine, I have enough copies, if not.
And if I can clarify, this was a report by Dr. Valentine?
Yes, this is Dr. Valentine and me.
Dr. Valentine, you authored the report that Dr. Kiesel's now passing out?
Yes. So I'm going over his records.
Yeah, this was your report on June 12th at 6:10.
Okay. And I go through everything, and of course, in the beginning, it was all stuff way in the past and didn't have a plan or didn't have a diagnosis. So difficult for me to put a lot of input into how he had practiced, as it were. So I needed to get the records cleared up and get into the now, so that he can remember the cases as well and we can talk about them. And so now I send him emails on the things that I'm seeing, and then we discuss it on Fridays. We get together on Fridays. I know I was only required to do it twice a month, but we're trying to do it every Friday, and we go over them and talk about them. And I told him this last time to go ahead and send me back the answers. That's why he has one that has the answers on it. Usually, you know, we at the meeting we talk about them. But for instance, right now, my latest email to him that I have not sent yet, he had a dog that had a pretty high lymphocytosis. And so I realized that he had written neoplasia, but he hadn't really done the other steps. And he also hadn't really, I would have done a 4DX as well, because even though typically Ehrlichia presents as an anemia and a thrombocytopenia, it can present as just a lymphocytosis with nothing else really, with no anemia. And it's one of the few tick-borne diseases that can do that. So I told him that I probably would have checked with a 4DX. And I would have sent it to the pathologist to have them look at the lymphocytes and let us know if it looks like a lymphoma or leukemia or what's going on with that. So that's on my email that I have here that I was going to send tonight, so we would have got it tonight.
It's my impression, Dr. Valentine, this is Jane Solomon. It's my impression from scanning this report quickly that it starts to get more to the crux of what we were looking for, which is looking at Dr. Kiesel's practice of veterinary medicine, how he does it, and is he thorough, and does he make accurate diagnoses and recommend proper treatment? And you've highlighted some areas of concern.
Right. Dr. Kiesel, how do you feel that it's going, having the monitor and having her go over things with you?
Oh, I think it's helped me tremendously.
Okay.
It's made me more organized, and it's made me go over everything before the client leaves. So I spend more time on the records than I ever have before.
Have you been in practice solo for quite some time now, or do you
ever.
Have? Okay, always. Okay,
never worked with anyone else.
Gotcha. Good and bad, I suppose, because you don't have somebody to kind of bounce ideas and things off of or learn.
No, and
you know,
and
as these guys talk about all the time, I'm not the vet, but just being able to talk to colleagues and learn kind of the new things is really.
Yeah, and for the first 10 years of my life, I was in Benson, so there wasn't even.
You were it.
Anybody.
Right.
You were it.
Yeah. And so a lot of things I learned weren't right.
Right. Well, and again, as you hear, everything is changing all the time, and it's. Yeah. You know, it can be a lot to keep up with, so I just want to.
Well, and yeah, and I'm glad you said you're better organized and all that, because I mean, that's honestly where a lot of it comes down to. I know that myself, just in the last 2.5 years, it's a cluster, just all around. And things get out of hand real fast, and sometimes you have to step back and be like, whoa, hold on. I mean, and I've done it with my hospital, where I'm like, we're just going to close today, and we're just going to catch up on stuff and get back to doing this and right. scrub these walls that we haven't done and clean off this light and all these kinds of things. It's like that stuff just isn't getting done. And it is, once you get it organized, you get that system down, it is a lot less overwhelming, but still crazy overwhelming. Yeah. But yeah, so that I'm happy you're saying that and doing that. And you kind of feel better in that area. You have more control over life, because when things are going out of hand and it's just client after client, animal after animal, it's like, here's your augment and go, just, oh my God. And you move on to the next one, and it does, it snowballs.
Right, and then I'm up all night worrying about the case that just left.
Yeah, so you're gonna find a lot less stress in your life when that happens, because I know, like I said, when stuff starts to snowball, even for me, it's like, okay, let's step back real fast, because this is gonna get bad real quick. So I'm glad you're doing that, and like I said, I like this is kind of what I'd be looking for, that we're going through there more and looking stuff. Of course, we also wanna watch the rest of it, not just records, but I mean, is the hospital staying clean? Are we keeping up on the expired supplies, that kind of stuff, make sure there's no other problems. There's a whole list of inspection stuff. There's a lot of them. But yeah, getting the records organized and everything is gonna be huge. So it's gonna make your life easier.
Do you still have support staff helping you? Is
one person.
Okay.
Dr. Ryan, I think Victoria has some comments.
Okay.
Just to follow up, so about the practice owner, I don't think that his consent agreement talks about the premise piece of
it. Oh, I'm sorry, okay.
The violations weren't related to the premise.
Oh, I'm sorry, my fault. But still, watch that stuff.
Well, because there is only me and her, you know, I do most of the mopping and the garbage. And my routine is I come in the morning and I answer all my emails. And I've changed that because I used to call people. And I've learned that sometimes what I tell them and what they hear are two different things. So now I do everything by email, and that way it's in writing. And that way, if they don't understand what I'm saying, I know they don't understand what I'm saying. So every morning I do my emails. And then we go down and we get the dogs ready for surgery, the prep and all that sort of stuff, and the blood work. And then in the afternoon, I see only one client an hour. That gives me plenty of time to run upstairs, where I have two books of differentials that I can go through and look. But I've been a vet for so many years that sometimes I look at those differentials and I say, well, there's no way. There's no way it's going to be that. And Dr. Valentine is helping me. Well, it doesn't really matter if there's no way.
Yeah.
Write it down anyway.
Yes.
So. I mean, and things change all around. I got mad the other day because I realized how old I was when I found out that there's like 8 states of matter now. And I was like, I swear when I was in school, there was only 3. Like solid, gas, liquid. Now there's like so many different proposed condensates and all. I'm like, so things change constantly, and I don't like it. The diagnoses are there. And really, I mean, we see the common things commonly, so you start figuring out, okay, well, it's over and over again there. I still am impressed by my colleagues that remember drug dosages without having to look them up in the books, because I remember a few of them, and other ones I'm like, I don't remember, but they're like, oh, it's like a mil per pound for this and all that. I'm like, I don't know. So like I said, you're always going to go to the books, and that's something I've always taught every veterinarian or that I've mentored, is you don't have to know everything to be a good vet. You just have to know which books to go to when there's an issue.
And I tell all my techs, I don't want you to memorize any doses.
Yeah.
There's the formulary. Look it up.
Yeah. That's easy anymore.
Do you mind if I ask Dr. Kiesel a question? So one of the violations in the order was related to like not consistently monitoring animals during surgery. And in the past, there's been difficulties with surgery. So has Dr. Valentine watched you do surgery and see you prep and see you all the way through a surgery?
Yeah, Dr. Valentine and I have done surgeries
together.
Yeah, we would go to Mexico and we would do 60 to 70 spays in a day. So she's...
Has she been in your hospital and seen how you... Because we've been in your hospital prior to surgeries and seen how things...
Yeah.
So we hope that things have improved and come up to a minimum standard of medicine in 2022.
Well, one of the things was the heating elements. Now we have that hot air blowing in and that sort of thing. So... I mean, I think we're correcting almost everything, but like you said, every day I find out something new that I'm not doing
so
right.
Did I hear that she has seen you in your hospital do surgery?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we've done surgery together in my hospital.
Okay, and Dr. Valentine, are you also looking at the monitoring during all the surgical procedures? Is that part of the record review?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. And like I said, and I think right now you're understanding kind of where we've been coming from this whole time. We're not trying to come after you and all this kind of stuff. It's like we're trying to better you and better all of us as a profession. And I do see more smiling on your face now.
well,
I mean, when this was first started.
You forget, the last time I was here, I made a mistake.
Yeah.
And I take that very seriously. Yeah. And so I was really upset over that. You guys were upset over my records, which I didn't care about at the time because I was more upset with the mistake. But since then, I really feel like this is gonna help me not make any more mistakes.
Yeah.
Because I'm really working on communication and making sure that somebody, and that's what I keep telling myself, I want somebody in Phoenix to be able to read this and know what's going on.
And it's going to be good there. It's going to be good because you're not going to be waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning being like, oh, I got this case because of all these things. And ultimately, we're in business to make profits. You're going to become more profitable, which is going to cut out a lot of stress in life, too, because we can all use a little more money here and there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all in all, it's going to be good. And I'm glad that you're taking it seriously and going through and getting this, because that's what we want to see, continued improvements. The biggest thing now is making that commitment that all this stuff was in the past and it's going to stay in the past. And in the future, we're going to keep doing the right stuff and stay on top of it.
Well,
and if you have issues, ask for help.
That's what I'm trying, and that's why Dr. Valentine's so important to me. I mean,
camaraderie is huge.
It's so nice, and I know you guys don't do it because you don't have the practice monitor, but it's so nice to have somebody looking at your stuff and going over it, and maybe they have ideas that you didn't even think of.
Yeah. That camaraderie is huge, and it's something I've been talking about over this last 2.5 years, 10 years, whatever it's been for coronavirus now, that all this stuff of us isolating ourselves away from everybody else has been hard, because we do lose that camaraderie and we do start spiraling out on different things. So yeah, no, I don't want to step anybody's toes here, but I'm happy with how this is looking. You know, but,
is there any, that was going to be my question, is there any other type of information the board would, or staff would like to see in reports from Dr. Valentine. These emails are very informative, but they're not the report, and so.
It isn't clear to me if she looks at a case again, if the pet comes back again, like is she following the case through?
She looks at every case.
So we need to see follow-up.
So after every visit, she sees that record.
One of the things she made me do was make sure that I put down when I wanted to see that animal again.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So now I have a three-day, two-week,
so
whatever.
Track it.
Right.
Excellent. Cool. Okay. Good. Thank you.
I think this area, it's a different kind of format of report than we've seen before. Right. I don't dislike this because it's going through individual cases as opposed to, we discussed in general these things.
He just brought this today to show us what they were
working
on. It's not the report.
Yeah.
This is the kind of information we want to see in the report.
In the report, correct.
Yeah.
Great. Okay.
Cool.
It might help if you gave Dr. Valentine kind of a focus on what you want her to put in her report.
Yeah.
Because I don't think she exactly knows.
So would we review the consent agreement for sure? Look at the language in the consent agreement to start with.
Sometimes it can be worded weird because it's a lot of legalese, but everything's in there specifically. It's hard for us to interpret it because we're not your lawyer, but if you hire one, you can always say, hey, what does this truly mean? And that's it, because it's always in there. Over your left shoulder, there's always a good lawyer to speak with about pretty much everything related to the board stuff. But it's hard for us to kind of more interpret it that way, just because that's...
She's supposed to report to you, though, right?
Yeah, but everything's in the thing, so it's, like I said, it's spelled out in there, so we can't really spell it out again.
Okay. No.
Just look in the end.
But she just said that what she was doing wasn't right. So what I'm trying to clarify is, this is pretty specific. You want something more general?
I was going to say, listen
to the minutes from the last month's meeting, because isn't that where we were?
Yes.
We went over the first report and kind of clarified.
Yes, because that was a more traditional report.
Right.
And we were looking for something different.
More
and this
specific,
is
going
different.
Through each record.
Yeah.
Again, I want to be... going through each record and having Dr. Valentine point out, just like she's done here, from what I can see, here's where, you did this correct, but this needs work or this wasn't correct. So it was really getting the nitty gritty of each client that you're seeing. So again, I don't want to be sounding like I'm giving legal advice, but I think we're on the right track now.
This is what you want to see, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think the intent would be that after she corrects this, and gives you guidance on it, then you go, okay, next time I know to do that differently, and you do it on your own. She doesn't have to consistently be, right? Once you fix it and you go, oh, I should put a prognosis in there, or oh, I should put how long I want for them to come back, then,
You shouldn't see those mistakes anymore.
So instead of four pages here, it starts turning into three pages, then two, then one, and it's hey, everything looked pretty good. That's what we want.
Dr. Valentine, did you have a question or comment?
Well, I did want to ask, because that was confusing to me about what to put in the report, because it said to address all the points that were in this agreement, and that was things like failure to provide courteous verbal interchange by taking the dog to an emergency facility, failure to provide the pet owner with discharge instructions, failure to examine the dog and record the result in the medical record on August 4th to 6th. So it was mostly talking about record things. So that's why I thought you mostly wanted to make sure that we had cleared up the record things. Now, I know there are a couple that say, or there's, let me find the one where it's more specific about. It says, practice monitor shall identify potential issues in medical care provided or proposed by respondent, including medical record keeping, blah, blah, blah.
That's it.
And so, so I knew, we were doing that, but I didn't put it in the report because that was, that sounded more like a general statement. Now, do you want them by animal and client name, or can I just say, like, I don't know, like 7 records a day or whatever, you know, and then say these problems were found, you know, didn't consider, like, for instance, what we were just talking about, didn't consider lymphoma, leukemia, and have it checked, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or do you want the actual name of the patient?
I don't think so, because, again, keep in mind, you know, we usually have a full day now of things to go over, so we don't necessarily want to have a, you know, 24-page report from you detailing every, you know, pet that he's
good.
Seen.
Right.
we don't need to know when everything was done right.
Exactly. Yeah.
We just want to know the problems.
That right. his diagnoses were correct. That his
right. Just kind
were
of
correct.
General. Yeah.
Yes.
Does that help?
Okay. I think so.
Okay.
I think that I now know exactly what to put down, and I'll find out with the next report if I was right.
Right. And again. Not that Victoria is not busy, but you can always ask Victoria if you do,
right.
you know, need some clarification. I again, we're not trying to make this more difficult or time-consuming than it already is for everybody. So, you know, ideally we kind of get on.
Sometimes you put Victoria in a very difficult position.
That's not unusual.
Because she's in the middle. And sometimes I'll ask her a question and her answer is going to be, well, go back and read what the board said.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think sometimes she can't do all the things that
because we're appointed members. Yeah. We're appointed members and we're confirmed by the Senate, and she's the executive director. It's a different kind of pathway. So yeah, it's yeah. She's
can't provide
she's
legal
our keystone.
Advice, but yeah.
Yes. She does a fabulous job.
Yes. But yeah, anything, because certain things only the board members themselves can say in quorum. So she has to be careful at that point. So yeah, sometimes it's a very vague answer, and that's just because open meeting laws and stuff. But she's awesome.
Thanks for coming.
And I'll agree with that. She's always been extremely nice to me.
she goes above and beyond, that's for sure. I can't say that.
Well, thank you very much. And then I guess I don't know what the next time.
Yeah, we'll see you next time.
Yeah, next time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, and then we can move on to four, number five. Oh, I'm sorry, yes. Oh, Dr. Valentine, yes.
Oh, yeah. Thank
you.
Dr. Valentine.
You can disconnect.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
All right, so now we can move on to 2242, Simon Escalada, DVM, Board May Review, discuss and take action on request for rehearing or review of board order.
Yes, I believe Dr. Escalada wants to speak to the board personally. I would like to, before he does, I would make a motion we go into executive sessions for legal advice.
Second.
A motion and a second to go into executive session for legal advice. Any discussion?
Dr. Escalada, you're going to go into.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
All right. It's like I'm going to stand up.
In executive session.
I'm stretching.
My old knees
need to stretch. I moved more furniture and boxes in the past year. It's almost done.
Mr. McCoy on 3:30.
Okay,
40. Give me 1 second.